Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, the knee is one of the most common joints affected by osteoarthritis, and today we'll be talking about how this knee pain develops and ways to treat it with our two expert guests. But before we get to them, want to let you know that this is the last day of our winter member drive, and your contribution keeps the Larry Mueller Show and WPR strong. Gift, maybe $10 a month, $100 a month. Every gift, any amount makes a big difference because the largest share of funding for our programs come from people just like you. So donate right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Wisconsin Public Radio's Noah Obshinsky joins us as well as kind of my co-host today. Noah, how are we doing?
I am great, Larry. Good to be here, raising money and on your show. Let's see. We heard from both new and returning members last hour, Larry. Thanks for all of those gifts. We really do appreciate it. And great news this hour. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect that is up to $4,500. And this generous match is from current members, including a member in Glendale. And it means they will match every dollar you give.
Pretty cool. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, so you can double your support for the program you love. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
What does public radio mean? Well, public radio means listener-supported radio.
While we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, listener support, it's still the largest source of funding for our programs. So your contribution of any amount really matters at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or week, you're a regular listener because you value WPR. And if you've never given before, you can start off with a gift of $10 or $20 a month. Really, whatever amount you choose is the right amount. You can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you're going to love being a WPR member.
Addison.
And I'm Cheryl.
And we listen to WPR basically nonstop.
Our hobby is riding our tandem, and so we listen to WPR with shared earbuds while we're riding a tandem. We're pretty addicted to WPR. We love the programming.
And it's so wonderful to listen to programming that is not interrupted by commercials. Mm-hmm. That is just an outstanding attribute of WPR. Oh, golly.
We just love it.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Noah Obshinsky. Your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever, we appreciate and we count on it.
And guess what? Giving to WPR is easy. All it takes is just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Takes just a couple of minutes to make your contributions to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. So your support right now really makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And really exciting this hour, Larry. We've got that dollar-for-dollar match in effect. That means your dollar goes twice as far this hour. So if you've been on the fence, if you've been procrastinating, now is the time to make that gift of support. We have about $4,000 left of that match, so plenty of money. Please give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
You can support the programs you value, and you can show off your WPR pride when you ask for the new WPR T-shirt. I love that T-shirt. I'm getting one. I've already done my duty. You can do it, too. Just give $20 a month. or more now and ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And, you know, if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Edward in Madison says, I'm renewing my support for independent journalism and programming. Thank you, Edward. Paula in Neenah says, I love WPR's wonderful content. Well, we love you for listening, Paula. Thank you so much. Your gift right now is so important. At WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thank you so much if you've contributed. If you haven't, why not do it right now? And Noah, you'll come back and be with us again?
You bet. I'll be back.
All right. I tell you what, we're turning to our experts as we talk about osteoarthritis, especially as it relates to the knee, although I'm sure we'll get into other areas as well as we visit with Lori Tyne Brody, physical therapist and athletic trainer at UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic. Hi, Lori.
Hello. Good to be here.
Good to have you here. And good to have Jill Tyne Nissenbaum with us as well. Jill's an associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW-Madison. Jill, good to see you.
Hi, Larry. It's great to be here today.
As we talk with these two experts, I hope you'll join in with your questions. Do you need advice on relieving knee pain? Are you someone who has knee osteoarthritis? Join in. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas at WPR.org. And let's just start with some of the, you know, the very basics first. What is osteoarthritis?
Well, osteoarthritis is that sort of wear and tear that we see at the knee. So if you want to get into the technicalities, the osteoarthritis as a disease is separate from normal age-related wear and tear. It is sort of above and beyond normal age-related wear and tear, but kind of like the Kleenex and tissue question, it all gets thrown under the same label of, oh, it's just arthritis. So osteoarthritis is the eighth most expensive of the 154 health conditions that the U.S. is sort of categorized. Costs more than $80 billion a year to manage patients with osteoarthritis, and that typically includes lost wages from work and things like that. And the knee is one of the most commonly affected joints affected by osteoarthritis. The prevalence of osteoarthritis in the knee has more than doubled in the last 70 years. And there are probably a number of factors related to that, of one of which is obesity. Being overweight is a risk factor for knee osteoarthritis. It is not a risk factor at the hip, but it is at the knee. So the knee is not terribly well designed in that regard. But, you know, we spend a lot of time walking around up and down stairs, things like that, in our knees. And if we gain up, you know, a few pounds a year, year after year, that starts to add up on our knee joints. So so we get some wear and tear there.
Yeah. Jill, go ahead.
And the load through your knee changes depending on what you do. So it's a percentage of your body weight, and it increases for things like going upstairs or running. So those few pounds that Lori's alluding to can add up exponentially. And the problem is you put on a little weight and it's a little bit more load on your joint, and then you decrease your activity. And then you put on a little more weight and you continue to decrease your activity, and you get in this vicious cycle of my knee hurts, so I can't exercise, and I don't exercise, so I can't get stronger. So my knee continues to hurt. So we got to somehow break that cycle, break people out of that cycle, so they can resume some activity. That's really important.
So are the symptoms of osteoarthritis the same as just general arthritis? I mean, what, you know, your knee hurts.
Well, it's there's typically a pattern to arthritic kinds of pain. And it has to do with the fact that as an adult, the only way your joint surfaces get nutrition is by diffusion of synovial fluid across the joints. This is why when you're static standing or static sitting, you tend to get stiff, because your joints are not being lubricated. So people with arthritis are typical for in the morning when they first get out of bed because they haven't been moved. And then they'll say, oh, you know, I'm really stiff when I get up, but I get up, I move around, you know, it takes a few minutes and then I get going and then the stiffness goes away. So that's a fairly typical pattern for arthritis. I always liken it to the oil in the engine of your car. When it's sitting in the garage, the engine's sitting in the oil pan and it's not lubricating the moving parts of your engine. But you start up your car and that oil gets distributed across all the moving parts to create lubrication. It's similar in your joints, and that the synovial fluid basically just sort of sits in your joint until you get up and get moving. And then that synovial fluid is dispersed across the moving parts. It provides them lubrication and nutrition, and then you feel a little better.
Yeah.
Now, it is a bell-shaped curve, of course, in that, you know, getting moving, it starts to feel better. But then if you overdo it, you slide down the other slope of that curve and you start to hurt again.
Yeah. I was thinking about my own. If I don't get out and do my 2 to 3 miles in the morning, you know, I'm a little creaky when I wake up, but I get out and then that really kind of does it for me. And I feel much better all day long. And I imagine that would help even if you have osteoarthritis, you know, more than, I don't think I have osteoarthritis. I have a little arthritis, but not osteoarthritis.
That's exactly right, is the movement is good. And it's a matter of finding the right mode of exercise for the condition of your knee. So Larry, you're fortunate enough that you can do impact activity. You can do your 2 to 3 miles and you do great with that. And it's great for your knee and you're maintaining a healthy lifestyle with that. There are other people where impact may not be the best choice for their knee. It may be too painful. So they may want to consider a non-weight bearing activity such as biking, recumbent biking, or a new step, or stationary biking, something along those lines, road biking. Perhaps using a rowing machine, something like that, or getting in the pool. So the mode in which you exercise is also a factor, and you want to find the mode that's best for you and your knee so you can continue to do it. And as Lori alluded to, you don't want to overdo it and slide down that opposite side of the bell-shaped curve.
You are in what I would call homeostasis there, right, Larry? So the amount of activity you're doing, your knee is tolerating. So if you decided to go out and you say, oh, I usually walk 2 miles a day. Today, I think I'm going to walk 5 miles because it's a nice day. That may tip you over and be too much. And your knees kind of go, well, wait a minute. You and I had an agreement. We were walking 2 to 3 miles. I never signed up for 5 miles. And then your knee gets angry. And sometimes you have a hard time getting back on track. We see the same thing when people have an injury. They may be doing fine and everything's going along great, and maybe they have some sort of an injury or a surgery that prevents them from doing their regular activity, and they drop off and then they can't get back to where they were.
Jill Tyne-Nissenbaum, Lori Tyne-Brody, our guest today as we talk osteoarthritis, and I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments for them as we move along. Speaking of joining in, Noah Obshinsky's back with us to talk about our winter member drive. Listener support is the largest piece of our funding. So your gift right now, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes the programs you rely on possible. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Noah, we still have that dollar for dollar matching effect?
We do, Larry. Now is the time to make that gift of support because we do have that dollar for dollar match in effect. That's from current members, including a member in Glendale. That means Well, this is math, Larry, frankly, that even I can understand, and I am mathematically challenged. That means if a listener gives $50, that turns into $100. $100 turns into $200, and so on. You get it. Now is the time to make that pledge of support right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, people often talk about the high quality of life in Wisconsin. We have some great state parks. We have a great university system, wonderful libraries. And Wisconsin Public Radio is also part of the high quality of life here in our state.
And on WPR, you enjoy lively discussions, in-depth news, great music and entertainment. Just in the last few minutes, I've learned about knee health. Something that now that I'm well into my 40s, apparently the warranty is running out, and I'm starting to feel more and more. You never know what you're going to listen to here on Wisconsin Public Radio, but what you do, you will listen to quality news and entertainment and also information about your health. Please give right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can also become a sustainer. You can choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or from your credit card. Some people do it that way. And it'll continue as long as you'd like.
Because WPR is one of those things you never want to live without, you can make your support ongoing with a sustaining gift. It's convenient. It's flexible, too. Just take a few minutes of your time to get the necessary information. So please get started right now with, say, $10 or $20 a month while we have this dollar-for-dollar match in effect at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive supports the programs you love and ask for the new WPR T-shirt. This light blue t-shirt is comfy and stylish, perfect to wear at home or out and about. With a design on the front showcasing your love of Wisconsin's nature and WPR, it'll be your new favorite way to show off your support for the news, talk, and music you rely on. Ask for yours when you give $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mehler here with Noah Ovchinsky. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your support during this drive is so important. And your gift could be $10, it could be $100 a month, could be $200 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And now is the time to make that gift. If you've been on the fence or procrastinating, now is the time to do it because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect up to $4,500. It's a great time to donate because current members, including a member in Glendale, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part. Well, it's really your continued support that keeps us going.
If it's been a while, true, now is the time to make that pledge, 888-202-2552, and we'll be glad to have you back.
And our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. Looks like we have about $3,400 left of that matching grant, as far as I can tell here, if my math is right. There's still room for you, is what I'm saying. There's still room for your gift to be matched, and I hope you'll do it.
Indeed, and as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you in an exciting drawing. Five lucky people will receive $500 to spend at their favorite sporting goods store. No contribution is necessary, and you can see WPR.org/drawing for details. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, don't worry. You are automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, you could become one right now. It's easy to set up monthly donations. Do it from your bank account or you could do it from your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. A great way to provide ongoing support for the programs you love.
Pamela in Madison says, I donate to support my friend Larry Mehler. Pamela.
Oh, Pam, thanks. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Pam, for that pledge of support. Jan in Cumberland says, I've had so many driveway moments over the years. Well, Jan, Pam, thank you both for your kind words and your generous gifts of support. You can join them right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Gift is very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Hope you'll join WPR on Tuesday at 1:15 for live coverage of the 2022 State of the Tribes Address. It will come from the Assembly Chambers in the Wisconsin State Capitol. This year's address will be given by President Shannon Holsey of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of the Mohican Nation. The 2022 State of the Tribes Address, Tuesday at about 1:15 on Wisconsin Public Radio and at WPR.org. Right now, talking with Jill Tyne-Nissenbaum and Lori Tyne-Brody, our physical therapists, about taking a look at osteoarthritis. And zeroed in a bit on the knee. We could take some other areas as well, I guess, as we go, move along here. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@wpr.org. Let's take a call from Kenneth in Janesville. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello. I wondered if your guests have heard about a new treatment for arthritic knee pain where a tube is, the Reader's Digest description is that a tube is put in the thigh to increase blood flow to the knee to reduce the inflammation.
Yeah. Jill, are you up on that?
So they're putting... So you're increasing blood flow to the knee? Is that what you're saying?
Right. It's called genicular artery embolization.
Lori looks like she has something
to
say.
Oh, well, they do genicular nerve blocks. So they could be doing some additional work with the geniculate artery, which is the primary artery that provides circulation to the knee. So it would be logical that if you improve blood flow, that it may improve the healing response. That there are a few leaps of logic you have to go through to get to that point. The assumption being that the reason why you are experiencing osteoarthritis is that you have an insufficient blood supply that is not allowing a normal healing response. Whether or not that is the case is unknown, but they are doing geniculate nerve blocks more commonly. They do that here at UW to help decrease pain.
And I wanted to bring up kind of what we were going to be talking about today. I was glad to have Kenneth ask about that, which is kind of a little bit of a surgical treatment. But there are ways, if I'm not mistaken, that physical therapy can help with this.
Yes, absolutely. There was a recent study published looking at the cost effectiveness of physical therapy, 8 visits over 4 weeks for knee osteoarthritis, and they compared it to basically a cortisone injection. So when you think about, you know, wow, I can go to the doctor's office and I can just get a shot and, man, I'm good to go. Or do I take time and out of my day and I got to go to physical therapy and maybe it's hard and maybe it's uncomfortable? What they found, the outcomes of this were that at a year, which is a really nice long follow-up, that the patients in physical therapy did better. It was more cost effective, even though the initial cost was more for physical therapy. The outcomes were better for physical therapy. And in fact, a number of the subjects in the cortisone group went on to have physical therapy afterwards, and a number of them went on to have surgery No subjects from the physical therapy group went on to have surgery at a year, and their outcomes were better. So in the very short term, people sometimes like getting that cortisone injection because they go, yeah, I'm all better. But it's a very short-term outcome.
Hmm.
And there's certainly instances where having a corticosteroid injection to, for lack of better terms, jumpstart your rehabilitation is indicated. If a patient has been trying physical therapy and just is in so much pain or is having such difficulty with activities of daily living that they can't perform the appropriate exercises to get the joint well lubricated, as Lori referred to, or to strengthen the muscles around the joint so it can offload the joint itself, a corticosteroid injection may be utilized prior to physical therapy so that physical therapy can become more effective. So even if someone would go down the path of having a corticosteroid injection, I still think it's very important that they have a course of physical therapy after that so they can be educated and make sure that they're on the right track with appropriate rehabilitation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. If you're in really bad pain, if you can get that shot, that's going to help you do the physical therapy part of it. That makes perfect sense to me, for sure. Karen in Middleton has a question. Karen, hi.
Hi, yes. Hey, I was listening to what she just said, and I've had 3 knee replacements on the same side. Interestingly, the third physician from UW never prescribes PT after a knee replacement. I don't know why. But my original question was, once you've had these false parts put in, is there still a need for the lubrication? Does the lubrication occur? And, my failures were because the parts came loose from the bone. Why is there no evaluation to see if your bones can accommodate the surgery and the part?
Yeah, I assume there would be some. But anyway, comments? Jill, do you want to take that?
Sure. Well, I'll start with the bone. Sounds like you had what we call hardware loosening, unfortunately. And there's different, we don't want to get into too many details, but there's different types of prostheses that can be used. Some of them incorporate bone growth into them. And for whatever reason, your bone may not have adapted to the prosthetic and really grew in as it should. There's cementless procedures. There's a multitude of procedures that can be done with a total joint. And so everybody's bone is a little bit different. Of course, the surgeons will take that into consideration, is the viability of your bone as a living tissue. So they do take it into account. And I'm not going to go into more detail than that because that's just truly something I'm not trained in. But I would tell you definitely that I would say the advancement in total joints in the past 15 years has really grown by leaps and bounds. And I think we're seeing a lot better hardware and placement of hardware and stabilization of hardware over the past decade or so.
And in response to the question about lubrication, yes, you still need lubrication in that joint. So you can imagine, depending upon what your components are made out of, if you don't have some sort of lubricating surface, you're going to get breakdown of that material. As the tibial, the shell for the flat component, and then the component over the end of the femur, as they roll and spin and glide across each other, you're going to get component wear. And what you'll end up with is little fragments of stuff in your joint if you don't have lubrication. So, yes, you still need lubrication in your joints to prevent wear of the components, which can actually be a very detrimental thing.
Yeah. So, Karen, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Joan in Rolling Ground, we'll go to you. Hi, Joan.
Hello. My problem with knee pain has to do with when I have a job where I end up working on concrete and not doing enough moving around. I have a new job, which so far is more moving around, but I fear it won't stay that way. I'm wondering about shoes. I see ads for these GT5 that have springs in the heels. Will they help?
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'll start with that, and then you can comment on the shoes, Lori. So stasis, as Lori always says, stasis in a system that's not to be static is bad. So, again, these joints like movement, but unfortunately a lot of jobs do require you to stand in one place, and standing on a hard surface such as concrete is very difficult. The analogy is, when you're making Christmas cookies, holiday season, and you have static standing in your kitchen, you end up with low back pain or knee pain. It's the same thing. So using some support of support or cushion can help. If possible, they have mats, floor mats that you can stand on that help. That's one option. Another option is shoe wear, and it's very important to consider your shoe wear. I'm not sure I would be sold on shoes that have springs in them, but I think Lori's looking to comment on that.
Yeah, Lori?
Yeah. No shoes with springs. That's just that's an ankle sprain waiting to happen. So I would go with a good shock absorptive shoe. You need a shoe that fits your foot well. So it is not a fashion statement necessarily, but it's something that's fits your foot well and has good shock absorption. You can also get inserts that are like Viscolast and things like that are shock absorptive. So just because it feels really cushiony doesn't mean it's the right kind of shoe for you, because cushion doesn't necessarily disperse the loads. It may just feel cushiony and then pass that load onto you. So I would go to a good shoe store, have them look at my feet and make a recommendation on the kind of shoe, the right last, whether you need supports, and maybe something that is designed to absorb shock. That we see so many job descriptions. You look at people who work in grocery stores, cashiers, teachers, linoleum over cement. All those surfaces give back to you 100% of what you put into them. There's no shock absorption. So if you can do a mat, like Jill said, that's a great choice as well.
Joan, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Or you could email us, too, the email address ideas@WPR.org. Here we are in the last day of our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. And Noah Ovshinsky's banging on the window, wanting to get back in to talk here about your gift, because your gift, any amount, makes a big difference.
It truly does, Larry, because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That means that your support funds this program as well as all the other WPR shows you count on. So please give right now as generously as you can at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a dollar for dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member in Glendale. And so your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 turns into $200, and so forth. And I hope you'll take advantage of this gift. I've taken a look. Jill Nadeau is telling me, hey, we got $1,500 left on the table yet. We don't want to lose that. So take advantage right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And just in the last half hour, we have been learning about knee health, all the things that go into maintaining your knees and what happens when something goes wrong. Or as in my case, I'm well into my 40s, and as I mentioned a while ago, the warranty on my body is up, I certainly feel it in my knees. This is the kind of programming that you can rely on here in Wisconsin Public Radio. I kind of call it news that you can use, because it's information that you need to live your best life. And that is what WPR is about. That's what the Larry Mueller Show is about. So now is the time to support programs like this one. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. And I really think WPR is one place where that's true every day. Might consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
Indeed, that is a good way to get in there. Now is the time to pledge your support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Once in a while, I think about it, and I think it's hard, very hard to buy much for $2. But at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes the news and all of the programs that you love yours for the taking.
Indeed, all it takes is $2 a month, and you will support Wisconsin Public Radio. That works out to, if my math is correct, let's see, $2 a day, that's $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
First of all, I really believe in what Wisconsin Public Radio does. When I would listen to the pledge drives every year, I would often think, oh yeah, I should call in, or go online and pledge, and then eventually I would do that. When it came around this year, I just thought, you know, this would be so much easier to just do a monthly donation sustaining public radio. Being a sustainer is good for me because I know that I'm doing my fair share. Even if it's not the largest contribution, it's a steady monthly contribution that I know is helping to keep the station on the air. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
John, thank you so much. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Noah Ovshinsky. Your support during our drive makes these programs you rely on possible, and your gift might be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose certainly is the right amount.
And it is because the Wisconsin Public Radio, well, we work on the honor system. In fact, public radio all across America works on the honor system. You don't have to pay for it. But when you do choose to support it, you make all the WPR programs you enjoy possible. Programs like The Larry Mueller Show. So how about a gift right now of, say, $10 a month?
That sounds good to me. You decide the amount, though. It could be 10 or it could be 20 or whatever. Decide that amount, then go to WPR.org. or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. I think we got about $1,200 left.
We do, Larry. You're right. Looking up at the big board, we've got $1,200 left in this dollar-for-dollar match. That means now is the time to make that pledge of support. Don't wait. Your dollar will go twice as far if you make that gift right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now, so important. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And thank you. Taking a look at osteoarthritis on the show today with our two physical therapy experts, Jill Tyne-Nissenbaum's an associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW-Madison, Lori Tyne-Brody, a physical therapist and athletic trainer at UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic. Give a call, 800-642-1234, if you have a question, or you can email us to ideas@WPR.org. Let's take a call from Diane in Appleton. Diane, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a knee replacement on the right side 4 years ago, and now the left side is starting to, I think, have bone and bone issues because when I lie down, I can feel it very painful in my knee. But generally, when I'm up and about, the knee doesn't bother me that much and not in the same way. It does swell. If I walk too much or I'm like at the grocery store for an hour on that hard vent and stopping a lot. So I was wondering about that, if there was something I can do with that because it swelled in the back of my knee, not my knee area itself. And also I went to a chiropractor recently about 2 months ago and he took an x-ray and he said the side that was already had a knee in it was slightly small, shorter than the other side. Could that be contributing to the problem?
Hmm. So what can Diane do to relieve this, Jill?
Well, so the posterior knee pain can be a couple of things. It could be something called a Baker's cyst, where you get a little pocket of fluid that sits kind of external to the knee joint capsule. The capsule is the balloon that kind of houses our fluid. That's what Lori was referring to earlier when we have to pump our knee to kind of get that synovial fluid going. So you may have what we call a Baker's cyst, Diane, where some of that fluid escapes out there, kind of gets trapped back there. And then it may be difficult, may have difficulty bending your knee. If it's straight for a while, have difficulty bending it, going the opposite direction, things like that. So that was the first thing that came to mind for me when you had mentioned that you had more posterior pain. And typically a Baker's cyst is indicative that there's an intra-articular pathology going on, or there is something going on at the joint level, such as some inflammation of your articular cartilage or a little bit of wear and tear of your arthritis. So it does sound like that's probably happening to you. And so I guess the follow-up question would be, and then I'll throw it to Lori, is, you know, have you tried any prehab for this knee prior to considering, you know, having surgery or anything like that?
No, I haven't been to the physician yet. I haven't been for like 6 months, and that's about when it started to bother me.
Okay.
So I guess I need to go in and talk to her.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. So I expect that you were given a number of exercises after your other knee replacement. Some things for strengthening, some straight leg raises, and maybe some exercises with resistive bands or something like that. You could certainly start doing some of those exercises. Those are designed for your knee. So I would probably start with some of those and maybe start with some general exercise. If you're, I don't know how active you are during the day now, but going for a walk, getting on the bike for a few minutes, and start giving that knee a little bit of exercise and see how it feels.
Yeah. And so the swelling is caused probably by that cyst, is it, Jill? Or
yeah, there's something called a Baker's cyst, and it's basically some, if you think of your balloon of fluid where your synovial fluid is, it can, for lack of a better term, spring a leak, and then fluid can kind of escape out there, and yeah, it creates a little pocket in the back of your knee, and then sometimes it runs back into your knee, things like that. So typically it's a sign that you have some arthritic changes or something going on in the inside of your knee, but it's typically specific to you have something within your articular cartilage.
It's like a bubble on a tire, you know, when you get a lot of pressure. So if you are irritating your knee and you're creating more fluid, so to speak, and it, you feel that pressure in your knee, it needs somewhere to go. So if you have a weak spot in your joint capsule, you get a little outpouching there. And then when your knee kind of calms down and your swelling or pressure goes down, then that little bubble kind of recedes again. So
that exercise, those exercises you were talking about, be a good thing for her and could be helpful.
Yeah. I don't know that you need to wait to see a doctor to tell you that you have arthritis in your knee. I think she's pretty much figured that out on her own.
Yeah.
So let's start with some exercises, and then you know, you can get a referral to a physical therapist who will then evaluate the status of your knee now and say, yeah, you know, those exercises are good, but here's a couple other ones that would be useful given what I see in your knee today.
Good luck, Diane. Thank you so much for calling. Joe in Stevens Point, we go to you now. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Larry. I have a question for your guests. And a little while ago, I heard one of them mention a word prehab, which I haven't heard before. However, now my question ends up being a prehab question. and this is about knee surgery. My wife has been looking at knee surgery, postponing it because of the pandemic, but getting closer now that it's winding down. And I've gone to some of her appointments, and when she walks, she looks like she just got off a horse. You know, she's kind of bow-legged and
yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And,
yep.
So I have asked the question about physical therapy before surgery, and a couple times when I've been with her to her appointments, and again, I kind of get this blank look. And no, it seems like no one that we're speaking to, at least, has an interest in considering that, at least at the time that we're talking.
And then this is knee replacement for your wife, right?
Yeah, correct. Yes.
Yeah.
So my question is, in physical therapy before surgery or prehab therapy, which I like that term. Is there an economic disincentive for the providers to be ordering that, because that would come under their global fee for the surgeon doing the procedure or the hospital providing the service of the surgery. And if that's why we seem to be running into blank stares when I'm asking therapy before surgery.
So Lori's looking to answer that question. What I will tell you is there's research out there that supports that the outcomes are better once you have, if you have physical therapy prior to having your surgery. It can delay when surgery has to occur. And when it does occur, it at the time, people were being hospitalized after their total knees for a few days, and it would reduce your length of hospitalization, and people had better outcomes when they had prehab or physical therapy prior to surgery. But to answer your question about the outcome or the cost, I know Lori had something to say.
Oh, yes, yes. I'm not going to walk too far out on that plank,
right?
Because I am not a physician, but I do know that in some managed care organizations, the number of referrals and orders for imaging and referrals to specialties are monitored very closely. So I can't say for a fact that that is part of the incentive. One of the issues, and I'll be brief about this, one of the issues about measuring outcomes after something like a total knee replacement with or without prehab is that the impact of the surgery itself is so profound that it tends to wash out any prehab that you may or may not have had. That is, you improve so much because of the surgery itself that the margin for improvement left for physical therapy is often small and unable to be detected in a research design. So the surgeons may not have access to the information that Jill was providing about being able to delay surgery or having better outcomes in the long run. So some of it may be simply that they just don't know or that they're not accustomed to that or it's not part of their usual practice.
There we go. Joe, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Jill Tyne-Nissenbaum, Lori Tyne-Brody, our guests today. They are going to be with us right up till 12:30. But right now, Noah Ovshinsky joins me because we're in our last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive, and your gift of any amount makes a big difference.
It really does, because listener support, that's you, the listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio, are the largest source of funding for WPR. That means that your support funds the Larry Mueller Show, as well as the other WPR shows you count on. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We still have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect. A few hundred dollars left to go here before the top of the hour, and we're almost at the top of the hour. Great time to donate because current members, including a member in Glendale, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. So double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And all this hour, in fact, the entire show, we've been talking about knee health. We've been talking about surgery and the benefits and some of the downsides, some of the specifics regarding recuperation from surgery. We've been talking about footwear, everything you wanted to know about knee health. And, you know, knees are one of those things, I have found, Larry, that you don't know what you got until it's gone or compromised, because they really are key to living one's life as fully as possible. This is the kind of quality programming you have come to expect from the Larry Mueller Show and Wisconsin Public Radio. So choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make that gift.
We have a beautiful new T-shirt this year, and it's printed right here in Wisconsin. And the folks tell me that they match my eyes on purpose. The color of my eyes matches the T-shirt perfectly. So you can have a Larry Mueller eye color T-shirt when you contribute here. It's got some great graphics with this, light blue shirt to match my eyes. Features the sun, pine trees, and your go-to public radio station, of course. So show off your WPR pride when you ask for your WPR T-shirt today. You can give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You're busy. it can be difficult to squeeze in all the day's to-dos. But no matter how challenging your schedule is, it's always fast and convenient to make your contribution to WPR Online. Just go to WPR.org. With secure online pledging, you can pick the amount you want to give, how you'd like to pay, and even ask for a thank you gift. It's secure, quick, and pledging your support is a simple, easy task that has a huge impact. It funds all the in-depth news, thoughtful conversations, and excellent music and entertainment that are a part of your everyday, no matter how busy things get. So give now at WPR.org. Of course, you can always give us a call at 888-202-2552.
Exactly right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller with Noah Ovshinsky. Your support today keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Your contribution might be $10 a month, could be $100, whatever amount we appreciate and we count on it.
Indeed. Now is the time to make that pledge of support. You know, we've got a goal this hour. We want to get as many people to pledge this hour as possible. These goals help us stay on track. We're still a bit away from making that goal, so now is the time to make that pledge. 888-202-2552.
You might be wondering, how much should I give? And of course, that's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into entertainment all year long.
Indeed. And that entertainment is what you support here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Now is the time to make that pledge of support. Janet in Marshfield says, I'm a recent transplant and really enjoy WPR's original programs, including Larry Mueller and A Chapter a Day. I talk with my grandchildren about the books I'm listening to, and they enjoy hearing about them. Thanks. Well, Janet, thank you so much for your kind words and your generous donation to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join Janet right now with your gift of support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift right now is so important. And our guests, Lori Tyne-Brody, Jill Tyne-Nissenbaum, are going to be with us. We're going to take a quick look at the news and find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And then they'll be back to answer Nancy in Milwaukee, who's got a question, and maybe yours as well. But before that, why not make your contribution to WPR right now? Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Back after the news. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We've got some more practical advice coming your way from our physical therapist, Jill Tyne-Nissenbaum, associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW-Madison. And Lori Tyne-Brody, Lori, physical therapist and athletic trainer at UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic. So questions for them, give a call at 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Courtney Everett, our producer, by the way, Trina LaSousa, is our engineer for the show. So I wanted to mention them as well. And now I want to go to Nancy in Milwaukee, who has a question. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. I wanted to tell you that I've had total knee replacement for both knees 22 and 23 years ago. And so for all these years, I have been walking totally pain-free. It has been simply wonderful. I advocate this greatly. But now I am 90 years old. And I have quite advanced osteoporosis. So my question is, will what evidently is decaying of my bones eventually cause this prosthetic to come undone from the end of my femur and the top of my tibia? Could happen spontaneously. I might fall down my steps or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, a fall and injury aside, you are at this point unlikely to have loss of bone there that would impact your knee replacement. So first of all, the tibia and the end of the femur are not places that have a high prevalence of osteoporosis. It's not a part of your body that is generally heavily affected by osteoporosis, you're more likely to have issues in your spine and potentially in your hip. But I would say after having these for 22 or 23 years, that you're unlikely to have issues there that are related to your osteoporosis. Again, in the absence of falling down your stairs or such. And if you fall down your stairs, well, you're going to have a different set of problems than your knee replacement. So I would just keep on being active. If you're being active, continue working on your balance, continue strengthening exercises. You know, you can continue to strengthen all across your lifespan and into your 90s. So don't stop just because you say I've turned 90, so now it's okay. I can stop exercising.
No, keep it going, Nancy. You're doing a lot right as far as I can see. And thank you so much for that call.
Yeah, the fact that she's maintained those for 20 to 22 years, that exceeds the life expectancy of these. So she's done something right.
Victor in West Allis, we'll go to you now. Hi, Victor.
Hi. Hey, every 6 months I get this chip injected in my knee. Is there a time limit? I notice that each time I do it, it's getting less and less effective. Is there a duration point where you can't keep getting these injections every 6 months?
So what's the injection?
It's like a cartilage in your injections. You know, they put it in between the bones.
Is it a corticosteroid or is it like Synvisc or hyaluronic acid injection? Do you know the name of it?
Yeah, it's been what you just mentioned.
Synvisc.
A Synvisc?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so it sounds to me like it's a hyaluronic acid injection and one of the brand names is Synvisc. There's some other ones out there. And the interesting thing you mentioned is that you feel like you're getting less and less relief from them. I guess my first thought is I'm really glad you're getting these injections. They can be very helpful, and Larry can attest to that. But I think what's important beyond just the injection is, are you doing anything to strengthen the muscles around this joint? Because if you're just getting the injections and you're not doing any strengthening or mobility exercises, you're leg or the muscles are going to continue to decline and get weaker. So from my perspective, you should be doing this in conjunction with a well-designed rehabilitation program that provides you with good strengthening for the muscles around that joint. So it can offload the joint a little bit, some ideas about some cardiovascular activity and perhaps some balance. And Lori's shaking her head. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I hear people say, well, what is physical therapy going to do? It's not going to change my arthritis, but Jill just made a really important point, and that is strong and effective, neuromuscularly effective musculature in your lower extremity offloads your joint. So a well-developed quadricep can absorb 60% of the loads across your knee during normal gait. If your quads are not functioning well, if they get tired, if you're not terribly coordinated around your knee, then those loads are passed on to the knee joint itself, and that accelerates the wear and tear. So physical therapy is designed to decrease the loading on the joint and shift it to your muscles where it belongs.
Victor, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Andrew in La Crosse will go to you next. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having me on. So recently, I sustained an injury at work. I work construction. I have done so for the last decade. Went to the chiropractor, workers' comp and all that jazz, x-rays, and looking at me later. Turns out I got a pinched nerve at the base of my spine, and more alarmingly, I've got arthritis at the base of my neck and have already experienced a decent amount of degeneration in between my vertebrae there, which I'm pretty upset about. Like I said, I work construction. I'm kind of wanting to know, is there a way I can go about that into the future and not further degenerate my body? I already do yoga pretty much every morning, and I'm looking for about, life advice, change of career, whatnot, or specific kind of exercises I should focus on to better my neck situation.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What do you think?
Well, yes. So I think one of the key things, again, would be to get in and get evaluated by a physical therapist. And some of the questions would be, you know, how do you spend your day? So you're doing construction, yes. Are you looking up a lot? Are you carrying heavy loads? How do you carry those loads? Are you swinging a hammer? What percentage of your day are you doing each of these tasks? There are physical therapists who specialize in work-related injuries, particularly work like construction, plumbing, electrical work, and so on, where they really look at the mechanics of how you do things. Some of it may be a matter of educating you about how to position yourself when you do certain things, how to decrease loads on your body as you're doing the work that you're doing, and how to find a balance with the things that you're doing and the loads you're placing on your body. So we often see people who have these significant wear and tear injuries in their spine as a result of the work that they do. But if they had come in earlier and we could have educated them on how to do things to decrease the loads on their back, specific strengthening exercises for some muscle groups, specific stretching for other muscle groups, specific training about how to use your body in certain situations, you can decrease those loads on your spine.
So, occupational therapist?
No, a physical therapist who specializes in work injuries.
Okay. All right. Andrew, good luck. Appreciate your call very much. Fran sent us an email. She did lots of walking on hills and stairs in October and then noticed her left foot shoe showed uneven wear. Pain developed on outside of her left knee and left hip. X-rays in November showed osteoarthritis in the left hip, but not the knee. PT doesn't seem to be helping. She's wondering if there's something relating to her meniscus, and what's next for her? It's a lot there.
So
that's a whole lot going on with two joints and referral patterns and...
It's a great case in point of homeostasis. So everything was going along fine. Then one day she goes and does this and overdoes it. And then next thing you know, she's got pain. So when you have pain down an entire leg or in multiple joints in a leg, we always want to look and make sure it's not coming from your spine. So sometimes you'll go and you'll say, oh, there's arthritis in the hip. That's where it's coming from. But that could be an incidental finding. We don't plan our treatments based upon just a radiograph. A radiograph is one piece of information. So we want to look at the entire, what we call kinetic chain. So if she's not making progress, she could consider seeing a different physical therapist who may have a different approach and get a fresh set of eyes on the whole scenario. But in the absence of more information from Fran about, is it still her knee that's hurting? She said she wasn't getting better, but I don't know what's not getting better. If she's still having pain, if she still can't walk, if it's her knee, if it's her hip. Jill, you want to say something? I see you leaning forward.
The other thing is maybe we need to change the mode of her exercise. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is too much for her. You had made the comment about, you know, all of a sudden she was in homeostasis and something tipped her over the edge. Maybe her rehab is too aggressive as well. Maybe she needs to try a different mode of exercise. So it may be a different mode of exercise that needs to be addressed. Or like Lori said, maybe we need to step back and look at this through a different lens and perhaps it's coming from a different area of her body. Could this be coming from her low back? Maybe her back is now out of homeostasis.
Yeah.
So there's lots of variables here, I think, for Fran to consider.
Yeah.
Adele sent us an email. She has a daughter in her early 40s who's had knee problems since she played soccer at 16 and had a torn meniscus. She's had her knee scraped and worked on 5 times by arthroscopy, and now they say she needs a total knee replacement because of arthritis. But a knee replacement at her age is something doctors don't really want to do.
Right. So this is tricky. So 5 surgeries in somebody in her early 40s, is challenging. And my guess is she probably had a meniscectomy or a partial removal of her meniscus, at least with one of those surgeries. And unfortunately, may have gone on to have more and more of her meniscus removed through those subsequent surgeries. And that becomes a challenge because that's part of the pillow or the cushion between our two joints. And if all of her meniscal tears or pathology were on one side of her meniscus, let's just say the lateral meniscus, it can cause her to have poor alignment in her knee and cause her to have some knee valgus or something like that, which results in excessive loading on the other side of the joint, which can lead to wear and tear on the other side of the joint. She is young to have a total knee replacement. I'm not sure if she's tried physical therapy. There's braces such as unloader braces, which can help unload one side of the joint or the other side of the joint if that is indicated. And she may be a candidate for a hyaluronic acid injection like you had, Larry, to see if that helps her. And I would make sure all of those things are completely exhausted before I would consider a total knee replacement at, unfortunately, such a young age.
Yeah, that it gets too bad, but maybe something like Synvisc will help or some of the other things you suggested. Lori and Jill.
Looking at shoe wear might be important, too. I mean, there's a lot of things. You should see a physical therapist for sure.
All right. Jill Tyne-Nissenbaum, associate professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program at UW-Madison, and Lori Tyne-Brody, physical therapist and an athletic trainer at UW Health Spine Physical Therapy Clinic. Always great to talk with them, and always really appreciate what they have to say. They have a lot of great information, and here it is coming right in our listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio Drive. Larry Mueller here, and Noah Obshinsky's back with us. This is the last day of our drive. Listener donations are the largest source of funding for our shows, and if you've been meaning to give, now would be a good time because the drive ends at 6 o'clock. So go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And Larry, we have heard from many folks, many listeners to Wisconsin Public Radio here this hour, but we are still looking to get 12 more gifts this hour. That is by 1 o'clock. Why don't you be one of the 12 right now with your pledge of support? And again, these goals are set up to make sure that we will be in a good position to pay for the Larry Mueller Show in the coming months.
And we met our goal last hour, which is great, but let's meet the goal we've got now. And of course, it happens one gift at a time, starting with yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And on the show, we cover topics like environmental and consumer issues, gardening. We talk about knees and knee health. We put Wisconsin first, Wisconsinites first, authors, books, doctors. You get a lot of great advice on topics that impact your life and your community. And it's possible because of your financial support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So please support this program and all the other programs you enjoy on the Ideas Network right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you should enjoy and come along with me to enjoy the 2022 USA made WPR t-shirt. It's a light blue shirt, matches my eyes, shows a simple image of sunbeams over a Wisconsin landscape, and of course the name of your favorite public radio station. So display your sense of adventure in Wisconsin with WPR. Ask for your t-shirt with your gift of $12 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, we hear great stories from WPR listeners every day, and they're usually about how WPR impacts their lives. The donor comments you hear during this member drive are a good example.
These stories remind us of how we've connected to each other as a community. As a matter of fact, I'd love to get a photo. Wouldn't it be great to have a photo of about 1,000 of us in those t-shirts, those blue t-shirts? I wish we could do that. Maybe we'll figure out a way to do that. I'm hoping that you get inspired by that t-shirt, maybe, but more important, become inspired by the WPR programs that I think engage you and make you think, make a contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You'll make WPR experiences possible for you and your community.
Thank you for spending time with Wisconsin Public Radio today. Whether you found us by scanning the dial or a friend recommended the great talk shows or music or news programs, you're still tuned in because you like what you hear.
And because you like what you hear, help pay for your WPR listening. And you choose the amount. That's the cool thing. It might be $100, might be $10 a month. Whatever amount is right for you is a great starting point. So become our next donor right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. When I was a student, I wasn't in a position then to be a donor to very many things that I cared about. Wisconsin Public Radio is the central way to get a broad education on a whole lot of different topics in a non-threatening, often entertaining way. It's such an inexpensive thing when you think of how much good you get from it and how much you hope other people who aren't in a position to donate are getting from it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Be a good time to do it right now. Go to WPR.org and make a contribution, or you can go to the phone and phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Noah Ovshinsky. Listener support is the biggest source of our funding for our shows, and that's why your support is so important. Your gift could be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Indeed, giving to WPR is easy, I promise. All it takes is just a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
That donation will come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And please give as generously as you can.
And everyone should make the gift that works for them and for you. That might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family phone plan. Listening to WPR, it's something you do every day, so put a value on it like the other things that are important to you. And you can do that at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You love WPR because it's your source for intelligent radio. And there are costs, though, associated with this quality. It's not free. But that's where you come in. That's why your support is so important.
And making a gift is quick and easy. You'll be finished in no time at all. And your contribution, any amount, say $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, makes WPR possible.
Your gift right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear this show. Those are powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. So give right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just a couple of minutes left in the program, and we have, I think, nine more to go for the hour. So we're doing really good, Noah. And thank you if you've already contributed. If you haven't, look, you make WPR possible when you give. So give now at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
Oh, gosh, we are so close, Larry.
We're moving.
We just need nine more folks to go to the website, pick up the phone to make their gift of support right now. Again, these goals help keep us on track. They are important. John in Sauk City says, while I miss Joy on the morning show, Kate has been a great successor, and I enjoy Larry around lunch. Chapter Day and Rob on Central Time. Lots of great programming on WPR. John from Sauk City, thank you so much for your kind words and your generous donation. You can join John right now with your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This is the last day of our drive. It's your last opportunity during this drive to show your support for the programs you love and count on. hope you like this program a lot. We sure have a lot of fun presenting it to you. And your gift, it's very powerful. It really does make a difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution. Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, please do it now. I'm Larry Mueller with Noah Ovshinsky on the Ideas Network.